Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Preseason week two begins tonight, Thursday night football. You get the Patriots and the Eagles at the Link in Philadelphia, 7:30, as the second week of the preseason then gets underway.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
After that, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn with Key, and we go to the Goodyear Hotline, and we are joined by Troy Vincent, NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations. Troy, good morning.
And former Philadelphia Eagle Fly.
That's
Eagle
right.
Fly.
Yeah.
Yes, good morning. And I've been looking forward to this. I love you all show. This is on my bucket list. I want to come in studio, though.
Well, yeah.
I want to come in studio. Yes, it's on my bucket list.
Well,
Alan, you are a tremendous compliment. I love when you pick at Key about those Clippers. I absolutely love it.
I'm not worried about the Clippers, though, Troy. It's more about the Lakers in L.A.
I'd be more worried about the Lakers and the age. Are they going to stay awake that late to play a game? That's the question. It's a very old
team. And, Alan, don't let Key talk you out of loving the Knicks and the Nets.
Oh, well,
we know it's the mecca of basketball. But thanks for having me, gentlemen. I appreciate you having me on.
Half of that I will love. The other half I can only just appreciate. But it's just great to have you. And, again, open invitation. I mean, the door is open. You can come in anytime you want. But while we have you, let's discuss stuff about this coming season. And that includes a point of emphasis that's kind of interesting, is that taunting became a point of emphasis that the league is looking at for this year. Why did the league feel like this is something necessary to look at for this coming season?
Well, I think it's important to note, not a new rule change.
Mm-hmm.
So the taunting key, this same rule was in place during our era.
Yes.
The coaches, Players Association, this and replay was the most talked about discussion inside of our points of emphasis going into the regular season. Why? It's really to prevent what could happen that becomes just not what we want in the sport. Frankly, from a visual standpoint, it doesn't represent sportsmanship. So the coaches came and they did not back off that this is leading to, obviously, penalties. And we're not trying to be ticky-tacky. So in preseason, think about it, a couple years back, you saw the holding flag. You throw the fabric in preseason. Why? The coaches and the players can adjust. So when we get to regular season, you can make the proper adjustment, but not a new rule by no stretch of the imagination. But the coaches wanted to make sure that this doesn't escalate to something that's unnecessary, that'll cost a player being ejected, or frankly, that precious field position during a critical part of the game.
So, Troy, why would the co-owner, John Mara of the Giants, say that he's sick and tired of the talking by the players on the field? Like, what did you make of him feeling like he needed to say that?
He's on the competition committee, too.
So I would say, Keith, our process, as we watch the video, anytime we want to dive into either a point of emphasis, when we look at the data, look at the analytics, and then let the video, because the video speaks, that's really where our barometer begins and ends. You and I, those who play, we know what is crossing the line.
Yes.
And what is just good competitive play. And there were some things that we saw and we discussed as a committee where you just say, we need to stay away from that, like a step over. And then when you get the step over, when they're grabbing their crotch, and then there's this language just coming out.
Yeah.
You talk to the officials after the game, it's just, okay, where's this balance of good sportsmanship, letting the guy have a natural response, but not taking it too far where it becomes personal, and now it's not a game anymore. It becomes a blood sport. It becomes, you know, very personal and hero ball. So we're just trying to avoid that. So I would assume that was John's mayor's comment, and I saw Ron Rivera's. But again, the coaches, the competition committee, coaches subcommittee, they were adamant about, hey, let's clean this up. But we clean these things up in preseason.
So basically what you're saying then, Troy, is they're not saying don't have fun and be competitive out there, but just not the extra unnecessary taunting that makes the game and the shield look silly.
No, and you're absolutely correct. That's what it is. I think that's why the game is so beautiful. It's so great. The spontaneousness after a big play, there's this spontaneous reaction that you have.
Yeah.
Then there's some that we've seen that is calculated. And they go, okay, that's unnecessary. That's what we don't want. And we saw a couple years back, you know, the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game is a great example. It just begins and it builds up. And the next thing you know, you're on your show talking about a brawl that is like, this is not good for the sport. So, again, as a former player, we want to have fun and we need to have fun. It's an exciting game. It's an emotional game. But there's just things that we just want to make sure that if we can prevent, let's prevent them.
So Tyreek Hill throwing up the deuces in the Tampa Bay game going 80, that's not an issue.
No, come on.
Okay.
That's, you know, yes.
So it's a little more direct. It's a little more like if somebody's literally right in front of you. And one thing, and not to belabor it, but it's really good to get this full explanation because there have been a lot of reaction to it. Some thoughts of like, I didn't really realize that taunting was still an issue in the NFL. But just to make it clear, too, this is more about what's happening between players and not necessarily something like it doesn't look good on TV or, you know, we don't want the fans to see this kind of thing. This is less about what it looks like and more about what it can lead to, which is why you're doing that, right?
Oh, correct. No question. The television, that's a byproduct. It is what – and then you start getting into, you know, penalty call. There may be – say there's a fine assessed. You get into a hearing, and it's a he say, she say. It's a he called me this. Hmm. And then how do you debate? I didn't call you. And these words are just – it just leads to just bad outcomes. So we just try – hey, play. Be competitive. I want to impose my will on you every snap, likewise. But we got to do it in a manner that represents true sportsmanship.
So, Troy, now we see – only three preseason games being played this year. We're going to enter the second week here shortly. How do you judge the play so far and with only three preseason games?
What is preseason? It gets you to start. The players that need that game time, those reps, and that's those, you know, your draft picks, your unrestricted free agents. You know, your veterans, we've seen the veterans in the past. We just look at the way preseason has evolved in just the last decade. Less starters in particular, the quarterback and those key primary position, those stars, they haven't had a lot of reps. Why? The coach wants to bring those individuals into regular season healthy to give the team a chance to win. The three preseason games, to me, you still get a chance to look at. The talent evaluators still get a chance to get those individuals that needs the rep under the lights, because we know there's a practice player and then there's a player that can show up under the lights, under the pressure of game day. So, frankly, I like it. It falls into that window of a 20-game season. And I would not be surprised if later on, if there's good results, that it goes into – you may one day see 18-2. But I think it still allows – players to showcase their talent, clubs to evaluate, and the fans to get a chance to see what potentially their team could be.
Yeah, it's amazing, too, with the preseason now. You're not really seeing starters anymore, or at least very little of them. So preseason is really more about filling out the rest of your roster. We're talking with Troy Vincent, Executive Vice President of Football Operations for the NFL, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Back to more things about the league in this season. Last year, obviously, as every sport did, playing through a pandemic and having to go week to week on a lot of different things, including potential outbreaks and positive tests and positive results. With the vaccine now this year, there still is some pushback from some players on protocols for vaccinated versus unvaccinated players. So what led the league to these policies for unvaccinated players? And also, how will you handle outbreaks going forward within teams and maybe even potential for forfeits this season?
Well, we learned so much last year, Alan, and I'm so thankful that it was a team effort. The Players Association starts up top at leadership with both Dee and Commissioner Goodell, Dr. Mayer, Dr. Seals, and the collective efforts with the team, J.C. Treader, just tremendous leadership on being flexible in us learning what was happening in society with our medical experts. By about week 4, week 5, I felt like we found a really good rhythm of the protocols that were developed and modified. We had a system where we were able to identify, isolate, and then contain potential outbreak or the virus. Then we were able to schedule. So I felt like once we found that rhythm with the contact tracing, being able to pull players in and out so that it doesn't create a greater spread, it gave us the opportunity to complete a full season of 256 games. Last year, we did not have an option of vaccination. And we look at, as of, I think, Monday, we were approximately about 92% of players were fully vaccinated. So, what does that mean? You know, so unlike last year where we didn't have a vaccine, there was no other alternatives. We know that testing does not keep us safe. Vaccination alone, with the behavior of protocols of still wearing masks, physical distance, the combination of the three work. Now, for those that are not vaccinated, you fall into last year's protocol. Daily testing, testing during bye week. Those, and we don't talk about it often, but those players who maybe had questions, they had an opportunity to opt out this season. So vaccinations are intended to prevent severe illnesses. That's a fact. I mean, the studies show that it's proven that they don't prevent positive tests. So we're all in this together. We got to be flexible. But there's different set of rules, but this applies for everyone, the coach, the player, myself. If you're vaccinated, you fall into one category. You're unvaccinated, you fall into another. And I credit leadership. I mean, that's just where we have to be. If we want to complete 272 games in 18 weeks, the protocols, the flexibility, they got us through a successful season last year, and we expect the same thing this year.
Troy, what do you say to those players that feel like there's some underlying pressure to get vaccinated because they may not believe in the same science that you and I and some of the owners and other players believe in, but they feel like if they don't do it, they're going to be out of job opposed to doing it?
And that, I get that question all the time. Again, a personal decision. Myself, I use myself as an example. My wife and I, we went out, and you're just going to have a group, a subset of players. It doesn't matter what the topic is, that are just not going to make the decision. I take this as an example. There was a time in our system where players did not want to participate in a 2-for-1 401k. They just didn't want to do it. They put in the dollar, the club puts in $2.
What?
And I look today with vaccinations, we got a serious health issue. We just got to keep educating, respect their rights. But we realize that you're going to have some to just make the choice not to.
Yeah. I will participate in the 2-for-1 401k if you'd let me, Troy. I kind of like that idea for sure.
And I use it as a parallel because even that, when you're telling a player, you put in $10,000, they put in $20,000. No, I ain't doing it. Somebody's taking my money. Are you kidding me? Stop.
I don't mean to laugh about it, though. But Troy telling the truth, though. You sit back and you be like, huh? Like, it's the truth.
Yeah. Well,
it just doesn't make, you know, so, yeah. But you...
But educate
them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just got to keep educating.
Okay.
Hey, Troy, great to catch up with you. Great insight, of course. And thanks so much.
Please have me on. I want to come.
Doors open.
It's on my bucket list. My kids would love to see me on camera with you, too.
All right, man.
That's great.
All right,
Troy Vincent again, Executive Vice President of Football Operations on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, brought to you by DoorDash. It's the summer of Dash Pass, and members are getting $10 off groceries, alcohol, and pet food. Because summer, try Dash Pass for free and get your year-round savings, exclusive menu items, and zero delivery fees now in the DoorDash app. Terms and conditions apply. All right, let's take a few minutes here, Key, to talk about a story that is circulating in the NBA that I did mention on SportsCenter that just want to go a little bit deeper in. so we could hear it actually. This is, again, KD, Kevin Durant, and Draymond Green, who were teammates in Golden State, had a falling out, had that very public argument on the court, happened in the locker room as well, got real ugly to a point where Steve Kerr decided that they had to do something, and they ended up suspending Draymond Green, and it caused a rift with that team. Now, we know how that season ended. KD with an injury and then eventually leaving. They don't win the championship, and he leaves for Brooklyn. Now, Draymond and KD are teammates in the Olympics. They won gold with the U.S. They were in Tokyo there. So was Steve Kerr, by the way. But they got together for a podcast, Chips on Bleacher Report. Draymond Green was the host. And they both discussed what led to the breakup of the Warriors dynasty.
It wasn't the argument. It was the way that everybody, Steve Kerr, act like it didn't happen. Bob Myers and tried to just discipline you and think that that would put the mask over everything. I really felt like that was such a big situation for us as a group. The first time we went through something like that, we had to get that all out. I said, the only person that can make this right is me and Kay. And there's nothing that y'all can do, and y'all are going to this up. And in my opinion, they it up.
I think so too.
Are they lacking accountability here, Key, or do they have a point that maybe the coaches, everybody should have stayed out of the way and just let them figure it out? It might have brought them closer together, and maybe they're still together winning championships.
That could be the – I mean, that's how they feel. It came out their mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, they would know. They were there firsthand. I mean, you get into confrontations with teammates all the time when you win a championship. I don't know a championship team that don't have issues. Everybody that wins championships, all the teams got some issues somewhere. I mean, literally. So when you look at it and you're hearing them say this, if I remember correctly, Draymond got suspended for a game or two, right? If I remember correctly.
Suspended for a game. Yeah.
From the team.
For that, because it happened in the huddle.
I understand that.
Also
but
in the locker room.
If you just stay, you didn't have to do that. Just stay out of that and let them.
Figure it out.
Because what you did is now you basically pushed Draymond against KD by suspending him because he said whatever he said. And KD is grown and old enough to handle it himself. So that's what I'm learning from them, watching them communicate with each other. And they, it worked itself out.
Remember what was at the foundation of it, too. So it was a trip early in the season. The Warriors made a trip to New York,
yeah,
playing the Knicks. Somebody put a billboard up on 7th Avenue, and it was the idea of trying to get KD to come to the Knicks as a free agent. Remember, that was the big story that year. He was going into free agency, and the Knicks were hot on the trail. So, and he talked about how billboards aren't going to bring me here, but he did talk about how much he loved New York and he loved the vibe, the basketball vibe and how it was, and was very happy about it. They won that game. But from that point forward, the next couple of games, it just felt like, are you with us? Like, you're talking so much about your free agency, there's so much about that going on, but we're trying to win a championship. Are you with us? And I think Dre was trying to get in his face about it, like, hey, we need you locked in. Are you with us? And that caused some friction. They had to have it out. And so it starts with that, and then it boiled over into, because it's a lot of emotion with Draymond, of course.
Yeah, but
and
it's
it turned
emotion
into what it turned into. And then from that point forward, it just seemed like KD was on this, I want to stay. No, I got to get out of here. I want to get out of here. He went through a lot that season, well before the Achilles issue.
Yeah, but you got to think about, from KD's standpoint, how he's thinking he's being looked at and treated, not only by the organization, but people on the outside that really don't even know.
Remember, he
what's
never
going
felt like
on in the organization.
Remember, he always felt like the outsider of the big three because he joined them after they'd already won a championship. So remember,
I don't know if he felt that way or people felt that way about him.
Both,
Yeah, I don't know that he felt that way.
Okay, well,
because they was all cool. That's one of the reasons he got there, went there. Is because everybody was cool.
Well, who's the guy that recruited him? Draymond Green.
It was Dre and Steph.
Yes.
So they were okay. I understand what they both were saying about management getting involved in somebody else's business. We cool here. Stay out of ours. I don't need you talking to me and my dude. If we gonna curse each other out, that's how we handle it on the floor. I don't need y'all getting into the mess. And then they suspend another guy. They suspending Draymond. Now it looks like they taking KD's side, You know, KD.
Well, they were so worried about upsetting KD, they didn't want him to leave.
Stay out of it.
See, have you ever been through that? Have you ever been in a situation where you went to a coach or a GM and just said, "No, let the play. We'll figure. We'll get this done."
No, I've never.
You never had to.
I never really. Exactly, I never had to. But we had issues on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You said they had a big ego team.
We had a lot of egos.
Yeah.
But our Rich McKay didn't. You know, Rich McKay wasn't like telling Warren Sapp to be quiet and Keyshawn be quiet. It's like, oh, well, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. They were so worried about losing Durant to free agency because all the whispers were that he was going to leave. And, again, some people really thought everybody predicted it would be New York. It was Brooklyn. So he did end up leaving. But I think they were so worried about losing him that they were, like, doing whatever it took to make him happy. And that
was causing trouble. But at the same time, it felt like you alienated
– Yeah.
the other people.
Yeah.
And then he probably felt like, you know what, I don't even want to deal with this because y'all now have basically separated us and got them looking at me sideways like I got frogs on my face and all I'm trying to do is win games.
Isn't it something if you think about it?
Stay out of it.
They could have stayed together.
Yeah, just stay out of
it. Now, the injury still happens. Clay's injury still happens. Yeah. So they miss a year.
But you still got them back for –
But then you get Kevin back this year, though.
Yeah.
And the Warriors with Steph and Dre and Kevin.
Many things, you know, you can look at a lot of different ways.
What if Kevin
never left?
Yeah.
But he got injured. He comes back. And now all of a sudden, instead of Clay trying to rush back, he takes a little extra time. And therefore, his ACL doesn't buckle his Achilles doesn't snap based on his ACL because he's chilling because they know that they got help from Durant. I mean, you can look at it a lot of different ways.
All this happened because Bob Myers and Steve Kerr just didn't stay out
of the way.
According
to
Draymond
and KD. They were there, so they know.
We'll never know just how much more that dynasty could have been. Amazing.
Now,
right?
I can't wait for Steve Kerr to chime in next.
Well, what's awkward is that the two of them, so then KD and Dre were on obviously the gold medal team. Well, Steve Kerr was a coach on that team.
Well, this happened after that, though.
But come on, you're there. I mean, you don't think it ever came up or was awkward?
They probably told him, you know, because you usually as a player, if you see Steve Kerr and y'all together, you will say something to him like at dinner.
You'd
be like,
left us alone.
You see, we could have been winning eight more, but you trying to be smarty pants.
If you're a Golden State Warriors fan, how you feeling about that story right now? Coming up next, one NFL coach might be on the hot seat this season, but nobody's talking about him. We will discuss that and tell you who that coach is after Key has this from O'Reilly.
Nice, smooth, and clean. When you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Then even they'll bring it curbside to you. You don't have to worry about it. It comes curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your front door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today.
As a fan, this is amazing.
This is
the time of the year.
This is what we talked about. This is real, man.
This is real.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Scott Van Pelt, and I'm ready.
This is Keyshawn Johnson. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are ready.
This is Stafford Steve, and I'm ready.
This is the Bear, and I'm ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio. More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Joe Burrow not expected to play in the preseason, again coming back from the ACL injury from last year off his rookie season. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline to talk more about the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's go to one of the all-time greats, Anthony Munoz, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, the Hall of Famer. Good morning.
Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Good, man. How you doing, Trojan?
I am doing great. Fight on, Key. I tell you what, got to get our boys turned around. I'm in Cincinnati, but still watch closely, man. I'm waiting for that top five ranking in that championship game again. It's been too long for my boy. You know, our boys there in L.A. So
yeah, no, it's been a long time.
Good being with you guys.
Yes, sir. What? Let me ask you this, Anthony. What are the expectations in Cincinnati this year for the Bengals?
Well, it depends who you talk to. For me, I'm looking for 10 wins. I think, I've seen them in camp. Did a preseason game last week. I think it's time. You look at the roster since Zach Taylor took over, very few guys left from the last regime. I think, now it's time. You got your team. You got your guys. I think they are loaded with talent. I think they can do some pretty good things this year. So I think everyone's pretty optimistic about it, cautiously optimistic. We'll wait and see. But they got a tough schedule. But, again, I think they have the horses to be able to pull off a pretty good season.
Now, Joe Burrow obviously coming back off an ACL injury in his second year now. Is there cause for concern about the way, how fast he's coming back and the lack of a strong offensive line to protect him?
Well, the first thing, as far as coming back, I've been out really long. You've been out long, but I've been out really long. And, technology and rehabilitation is coming back so quick. You look at him and you have their offensive center, Trey Hopkins, who's even coming back quicker, and he's been going full speed of practice, looking good. I'm sure there's always a little concern when somebody's coming back from an ACL. But when you have guys like, Joe Burrow, whose work ethic is just amazing, I think it's always a concern when you get especially your quarterback back in there. And so I've not heard a whole lot of that. I've been to camp. Your second thing about the offensive line, I was a big, draft tackle with the first pick. They got Jamar Chase as, wide receiver like yourself, Key, an impact player. I wanted them to take either, the kid at Oregon, Sewell, or Penei Sewell, or another tackle, but they didn't. But the thing that I am excited about, and I've seen it firsthand, and you look at Joe Mixon's best year 3 years ago, their offensive line coach was Frank Pollock. Frank is excellent technically, and I'm a guy that was taught all 13 years by one of the best technicians to ever coach in the NFL, Jim McNally. Not only is Frank Pollock an excellent technique teacher, but he gets in your face. He played in the league 8 years. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's been through it. He knows what it takes to win. But I think the guys have the respect. And they have some guys. They signed Riley Reiff from the Vikings, who's had a pretty good career so far. Jonah Williams is trending forward. Keep him healthy. He's got some young guys that I think he can develop. And that's what I'm banking on. We got spoiled when I was playing. We had a line coach that could take low-round picks guys and develop them. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think that's happening. The whole attitude's changed. Again, they haven't played a regular season game yet, but the offensive line is the one group where, we used to say, leading up to a game, if the coach depended on a guy or position, we'd say, the hat is on you, Anthony. You got to block that defensive end. Defensive line, the hat is on you. You got to get to the quarterback. There's no doubt the hat is on the offensive line, and they know it, and they've been working that way. So I think all due respect, I love head coaches. They get all the credit. But to me, the guys that are so underrated and should get more recognition are the assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys that develop us to get out there and perform on Sunday. And I believe Frank Pollock's the right guy.
Hey, those are the teachers already. A lot of rave reviews from the players about Pollock and his impact already in training camp. We're talking with the Hall of Famer Anthony Munoz right now. on the Goodyear Hotline about the Bengals. And so when you talk about coaching, we've got to talk about Zach Taylor. He's 6-25-1 so far in his first two seasons. And you do have that expectations. You said maybe as much as 10 wins for this team in what will be now a 17-game season. Is there a lot of pressure on him? Would he be somebody that would be on the hot seat?
You know, you would think so. In this league, we all know you don't win and you're on the hot seat. You know, this is his, you know, he's early in his career, but I would think it is. You know, I would think he is on the hot seat because he has his own guys now. You know, I mentioned very few guys from the last regime are still here. He's built his guys, the guys he wants. But then, you know, the history here, head coaches have a tendency to last a little longer than other places, you know, regardless to how well or how badly or how well they're doing. So, and maybe with a little change in management, you know, you have, you know, Katie and Troy Blackburn, I think, taking a little more control. Mike Brown's still there, but maybe their attitudes are a little different with, you know, getting rid of guys a little sooner. So, but I would have a tendency, you know, with the you know, expectations of the community, the fans, that might put a little more pressure on them.
How much has the offensive line position changed since you played? I'm not going to say it. I know you already said it. It's been a long time since you played. Technology, everything else has changed. But has the position changed that much? When you watch it, do you say to yourself, I'd still be able to do the same things? Or is it a much different position now?
You know what? You know, the game has changed. Bigger, faster, stronger. And that's what's happened on the offensive line. There's no doubt guys are bigger, faster, and stronger. But when it's all said and done, the game comes down to the same things. Fundamentally sound offensive linemen. I mean, I look at it, I watch the game. I'm not one that says, you know, oh, this here or there. I'm just looking at what's going on. And, you know, I watch the guys that are coaching. I watch the players and what they're doing and what gets guys in trouble, what gives guys success on that level. And it's still basic fundamentals. You still got to, you know, be able to pass block, but then third and one, second and one, you got to be able to put your hand on the ground and knock people off the football. And you look at teams that year after year win Super Bowls. And sure, especially nowadays, they're throwing the ball all over the place, you know, but they still can run the football. When they need to, and they have to, they're going to knock you off the football. So, yeah, it's changed somewhat. Defenses have changed a lot as far as strategy. But for offensive linemen, you still have to be technically sound and be able to even the game today, I've been out 28 years. Even the game today, I'll take a guy that might not be as fast, athletic, he's more technically sound. I'm going to take that guy because he knows his angles. He, you know, he's very competent. He's really confident in what he's doing. So, yeah, it's, and that's, again, getting back to the excitement I have for this offensive line. Frank Pollock is a guy that, Frank's mantra is master the mundane. And I tell people when I was playing, even now, you got to work on your step after step, week after week. And it doesn't matter what year you're in, you're still learning, you're still, you know, working on your craft. So that's the consistent part about offensive line is you still have to master the mundane.
One of the best to ever do it, Anthony Munoz. Thank you so much for joining us. Great stuff.
Fight on.
Hey, guys. Hey, fight on, man. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right. You got it. Anthony Munoz on the Goodyear Hotline, the Hall of Famer. All right, coming up next. Call the roulette, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your hot takes, your questions, the topics, all of that coming up next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and on ESPN News.
It's time for Call a Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, and don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh, yes, the lines are filled. In fact,
yes, that is
he tried to prank call our control room by getting into caller roulette.
You got a busy signal.
That's a good sign.
Dude called me.
No, I called you afterwards. I tried to call the control room first and say I'm Dave from up north.
You would just say up north?
Yeah.
What would be the question? I know the voice is hysterical, but what would be your question?
I don't know what I would ask. Something? I don't know what I would ask.
I think Mac Jones should start right away. Like, come up with something like that. Do you want to go complaint department before we get to call?
I need to hear one or two today, people that don't agree with us.
Okay, so today Key came up with his trios. Now, yesterday were the duos. Today's the trios. It's offensive trios on each team, and it adds the quarterback. So the list, of course, looks a little bit different when you add quarterbacks. And who's not on the list is always part of the complaints. So Brian tweets, Keyshawn, and all caps, you are the biggest Bills Josh Allen hater at ESPN. On everything. It's glaring. Don't ever claim otherwise again.
Hater, why? Because he's not on the trio list?
Apparently he
there's no digs trio.
And what would somebody say? It was Beasley.
man, let me stop. Is Beasley better than any of the receivers that's in the top six?
I'm telling you.
Is he better than A.J. Brown?
I know what he wanted. Here's the trio he wanted.
Stop.
He wanted Josh Allen, the quarterback.
Okay.
Stephon Diggs, the wide receiver.
Okay.
Josh Allen, the running back. That's the trio. That's
well,
what he
it
wanted.
Doesn't, and I'm not a Josh Allen hater. Like,
oh, you are the no.
Oh God,
you're
stop.
Not just a hater. You're the biggest hater at ESPN.
Really? Because I tell you that Josh Allen had a terrific MVP type season last year. Prior to that, he just was okay till they got Stephon Diggs.
You're the biggest.
But I guess I'm the only guy that noticed
hater.
That in all of football.
Biggest hater. To the calls we go. Spin it. Line three.
Hey, guys. This is Chris, Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey, Chris.
Hot take. Washington football team wins 12 games this year. Ryan Fitzpatrick throws for almost 4,500 yards, and Chase Young will be a candidate for defensive player of the year.
That part I can believe.
All that you said was great till you start talking about 4,500 yards.
Yeah. If Ryan Fitzpatrick is throwing that much, it's probably not. I don't think Ron Rivera wants that.
No, Ron Rivera,
now,
no.
Fitzy would love that.
And that means that, yeah. Well, I mean,
something
I guess
really
he could,
bad happened to your backfield.
I guess he could have one of those magical run seasons. He could. Don't see it.
But I'm not sleeping on that team, though, especially with that defense. Chase Young's got a chance to be very special.
I think they're a good team.
Spin it. Line six. Or not.
Hey, it's Max from Cincinnati.
Hey, Mac.
Key, I have a question to piggyback off of Anthony Munoz. How many wins do you think, as a former player, it would take for Zach Taylor to stay off of the hot seat? I personally think they have to win 8 or 9. But with that being said, my hot take is they still win 9 or 10 games and sneak into that 7th playoff spot.
Whoa!
I think if they win 6 or 7, that's showing a lot of progress and big jump because he is only in his second year.
He has 6 wins in 2 years. So yeah.
But if he gets 6 or 7, anything less than that, they probably going to be talking about getting him out of there.
So that's like,
especially if Joe Burrow's healthy, and when you got Joe,
still
11 you got Joe, you got Chase. I mean, but you're growing, you're getting better in the third year. I mean, you got to kind of let it grow a little bit.
Yeah, especially him, he's still a young coach too. All right, spin it. Keep going. Call it roulette. KJZ, ESPN Radio. Line one.
Hey, guys, this is Andrew in Albuquerque. I was just wondering if the Chiefs' offensive line is a big concern going into this season, considering how they played in the Super Bowl and not making many corrections.
Well, they really upgraded the interior.
It was a concern this offseason.
Yeah.
But somebody got hurt recently, right, in training camp. One of their guys, James got hurt?
James Steele, our resident Chiefs fan.
Didn't one of the old linemen go down or something? James?
Wow.
I think one of
really
them.
Really up on your team, James. Very impressive.
Sorry, I'm lost because I'm here working.
So you can't
just tell me as a super fan of the Chiefs if one of the old linemen, something happened to one of the old linemen.
Wait, so the most
Kyle Long hurt his knee early in preseason.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Let me tell you, the most important, like, think about
that's
the most
what, that's
important
what I'm
area of concern for your team, James, and you need a minute?
Mike Remmers was banged up, and Lucas Niang is the right tackle now.
Works fast. All right, roll it.
Honestly, just
rattling stuff off. I don't know what you want me to say.
I got to pull you
just trying to help, guys.
Sorry. Line five, I'm really disappointed in James.
Yeah, this is Bobby in Ashley, Kentucky. And I'd like to ask Keyshawn why he's always throwing shade on Kentucky football. We got the number one offensive line in the country, and we've won our last three bowl games, including Penn State.
Hold on, man. What's your name?
Bobby.
Bobby, when the last time we talked Kentucky football on this damn show?
Like, to even throw shade?
To even throw shade?
You was talking bad college football a couple times last week, and you said that they was like Kentucky, they were hopeless when you was talking about somebody else.
Yeah, I don't think we were live, and more live. Yeah, was I even here? He said I was talking about Kentucky football.
But
I didn't even know Kentucky. Here we go. I didn't even know Kentucky had a football team. All I hear about is the hoops. Like, what is he talking about? I didn't talk about no Kentucky football.
You understand, though, you just made it worse.
I did that on purpose.
Sensitive.
I did it on purpose. He said I talked about Kentucky. I'm always throwing shade at Kentucky football.
Like, always. Why are you always?
When was the last
offensive
time
line
we talked Kentucky football?
Football?
Like, stop.
Didn't even know they had a football team.
Like, come on. No, they were good a couple years ago.
I know they were. Yeah. It's just funny that you would say that. Let's try one more. Spit
it. Think Beanie Wells and those guys.
Yeah, sure, Beanie. Line four.
They got good bourbon.
Yes, they do.
Hello?
Hello.
Yo, what up?
Hey.
Hello?
Hello?
Did you just want to just call and breathe on the phone or something? Like,
you
come on, man.
You don't want that to happen.
No, he.
Line three.
Corey from New York.
Hey, Corey.
Oh, gosh, Corey.
Yes.
Minnesota Vikings make the playoffs this year.
That's a possibility.
It's such a treadmill team, man.
You just don't know. I mean, you know, they retooled their defense again.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
But they're at that point right now. They're on that treadmill. You don't know where they're going. Friday tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of the day, everybody.